This Roto Report is brought to you by Joe Laser with Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Whether you need auto, home, health, life, or commercial insurance, or if you're looking for advice as you plan for your retirement, call Laser Insurance and Financial Services at 330-722-4444. We're joined now by Steve Hellwagon from BuckNuts.com, and it's time to break down the Buckeyes' next game. They had the bye week last week, so they had plenty of time to prepare for this game against the Cincinnati Bearcats. Ohio State ranked 20th in one poll, 22nd in the other poll. And, Steve, before the season started, this was a game, as I looked at the schedule, that scared the bejesus out of me because of what I saw last year in the final three games for the Buckeyes. Their pass defense was atrocious. And I knew with Gunnar Kuehl coming in, the transfer from Notre Dame being eligible, that they'd be throwing the football all over the field. So based on what you've seen so far in their start, two wins, one loss, and having the bye week, do you think the Buckeyes' defense is ready for this test?
Yeah, I think so, Ken. I mean, they got to see a little bit of this, obviously, with Virginia Tech and Michael Brewer, their quarterback, threw for just under 200 yards. So the Buckeyes, in a lot of ways, answered the call with that game. They didn't give up the standard 300 that we saw quite a bit last year. But yet the issue was the third down. It was the timing of the completions that really killed Ohio State against Virginia Tech, third and eight, third and nine, even third and 16. Whenever Virginia Tech was in a had-to-have third down, they pretty much converted it. I think that's going to be the key for Ohio State, because the Buckeyes have to get the pressure on Gunnar Kuehl, get into him up front. He's a big kid. He's listed 6'4", 208 pounds, and as Urban Meyer said in our interviews after Wednesday's practice, he said, he's like a giant on TV. He looks like he's this big, indestructible kid. So I want to see how the Buckeyes can get after him and affect him in terms of passing. The secondary for Ohio State, it's been revamped. You've got the several new starters there, Von Bell and Tyvus Powell, safety, and obviously Eli Apple to go with Durant Grant there, who's kind of a holdover. This is going to be the first real test, because UC's got a plethora of outstanding wide receivers as well.
They come in, they're 2-0. Gunnar Kuehl with 10 touchdown passes on the season, only two interceptions, averaging about 350 yards a game in that ballpark. What's the key for Ohio State offensively if they're going to have to go throw for throw, point for point with Gunnar Kuehl if he is able to rack up some yards and some points? What is JT Barrett and the Buckeyes offense going to have to do against Cincinnati?
Well, they're going to have to take what Cincinnati gives them. And you think about Cincinnati, they gave up 34 points in their opener to Toledo, and then 24 more to Miami of Ohio, which has a 20-game losing streak, the longest in America. And they took Cincinnati all the way down to the wire last week in the game played down at the Bengals' home, Paul Brown Stadium. That's where UC is playing its home games this year as they are renovating Nippert Stadium and bringing it up to code. So this is not a great Cincinnati defense, I don't think, by any means. There are some good players here, though. The middle linebacker, Jeff Luke, is a transfer from Florida State. A couple of the defensive ends, Terrell Hartsfield and Brad Hara, they kind of jump out at you on tape, as does the Will linebacker, Nick Temple. I'd say those four or five guys are pretty good. The secondary, to me, seems like they have given up a lot of big plays in two games against MAC opponents. The one corner, Howard Wilder, got beat deep by Toledo twice. So there will be plays there for Ohio State that can be made. It's a consistency issue. Against Virginia Tech, Ohio State's offense did not perform very well, and that is not a good thing, obviously. But they came back against Kent State, fired on all cylinders, 66 points, over 600 yards. The truth needs to be somewhere in the middle, where obviously they have a consistent approach offensively, convert third down, sustain drives, and more than anything, put points on the board against good competition. So that's probably what I'm looking to see as Ohio State has its last tune-up before going into Big Ten play next weekend at Maryland.
Steve, do you expect Cincinnati to maybe look back at that Virginia Tech film and pull some of that Bear defense out, while they may not have the personnel that Virginia Tech had, still give JT Barrett that look and many other looks to try and confuse him?
Definitely, and I think that that is something that was borne out when talking to Urban Meyer. He said that they are definitely going to do kind of the same thing. They have shown it where they get into the red zone and they bring the blitz pressure, go with basically zero coverage in the secondary. And, you know, again, I think that's probably going to be borne out, I would think, what we see out of Cincinnati. They would be crazy not to take a page out of Virginia Tech's book and do very similar type things.
Do you put any stock into the fact that Tommy Tuberville, the head coach at Cincinnati, is 2-0 against Urban Meyer all time, or do you not consider that because this isn't the SEC anymore? He's with Cincinnati and Urban's at Ohio State.
I think you got something there. I mean, you think about Auburn in the 2000s, last decade. It was a very good program. And in 03, Tuberville was the coach there. I think it was 03 or 04. They were undefeated and didn't get to go to the BCS National Championship game because two other undefeated teams got selected that year. So, you know, you think about it. I just look at it that, again, Tuberville was kind of in the right place at the right time. Auburn had very good teams in 06 and 07, and they knocked off Florida. That was the only loss Florida had in 2006 when they won the national championship and defeated Ohio State. So when you look at it, you know, he's a good football coach. Obviously, he left there, was at Texas Tech briefly, and now the head coach at Cincinnati. His one of his old running mates is the athletic director there, and his name kind of came out of nowhere for that job. In fact, he was on a recruiting weekend with kids visiting Texas Tech a couple of years ago when he excused himself from the room, stepped out into the foyer, accepted the Cincinnati job by telephone, and walked away from the recruits and everybody at the restaurant. So, you know, this is college coaching in the year 2014. But, again, I think Tommy Tuberville is a very good college football coach. He's built several programs and, you know, 9 wins last year in his first year at Cincinnati. This is kind of an interesting thing. A lot of the people doing bowl projections, the new college football playoff, you know, everyone talks about the 4-team playoff. The semifinals will be the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, but the other 4 major bowl games are also part of this process, and the committee will put those teams in the Fiesta Bowl, the Peach Bowl, the Orange Bowl is also in that, and the Cotton Bowl, the other 4 basically this year. And as part of that, one of the top team from outside the Power 5 conferences gets an automatic spot. You know, that could be Northern Illinois from the MAC, or it could be Cincinnati from the American, or, you know, somebody from Conference USA. Well, right now all the projections have Cincinnati as that team, the top champion of the best of the rest conferences. They are projected to play in one of the major bowl games, whereas Ohio State, a lot of people have them in the Capital One or the Outback Bowl because they've already lost to a 2-loss Virginia Tech team. So that's kind of an interesting thing. The Buckeyes could beat Cincinnati on the field, but Cincinnati could actually end up with the better bowl bid because they could be the best of the rest champion this year with 1 loss.
With that in mind, Steve, how much do you think the players on Cincinnati's roster, along with Tuberville, are looking at this game as not only for bragging rights in the Buckeye State, if they were to go into Columbus at the Shoe, 108,000, upset the Buckeyes there, but also to have that signature win to make sure they do get into that playoff picture?
Yeah, it would almost cement Cincinnati's case if they can go on and finish 11-1, win their American Athletic Conference or whatever, or even possibly potentially go 12-0. With a win over Ohio State, you know, maybe they're in the running for a playoff spot. That's a long ways off, though, and I don't think they have the defense to pull that off, to be very honest with you, in the long and short of it. But they are going to come to Columbus with full intention of knocking off Ohio State. It's a major step up in class, obviously, from going playing Miami, which did have Andrew Hendricks, a Notre Dame transfer like Gunnar Kiel, on the one side for Miami. You know, he was there, so that was maybe not a typical Miami team, but definitely a step up in class for Cincinnati to go up against Ohio State, and they're going to come up with every intention of knocking off the Buckeyes on Saturday night.
I had a chance on Tuesday, as you and a lot of other media members do, to call in to the Big Ten conference call and chat with Urban Meyer, and the question that I asked him, Steve, was, how many starting jobs are still up for grabs offensively and defensively going into this game before they start their next game, which would be Big Ten play against Maryland on October 4th. And he said really only two, and those would be on the offensive line. Do you agree with that? Do you think the other spots, the other 20 spots are secure or no?
Yeah, it seems that way. It seems like they pretty much settled on most everybody. The biggest question right now are those three interior spots. I think Pat Elflein is pretty much set. In fact, on their two deep that they released yesterday, they have moved Pat Elflein from right guard over to left guard. And that creates a dynamic left side, in my opinion, with Taylor Decker, the left tackle, and Pat Elflein, the left guard. We've seen this in the past where even last year with Muhort and Andrew Norwell, they put two of their better linemen on the one side and run to that side quite a bit and do a lot of things. And obviously those guys are going to pass protect the backside of JT Barrett as well. So that all works out well. But I think Elflein's set. Right now, Jacoby Bourne is the center. We know that Elflein or Billy Price or Antonio Underwood could also handle those duties if need be. And right now, Billy Price has been moved over to the right guard. But it's very interesting that Chase Ferris, a junior, a guy who's been there a long time, been banged up throughout his career, is making a push to get into the starting lineup. And maybe as this thing goes on, we're only in week four, he's able to displace somebody, or if somebody would get injured or whatever, Chase Ferris, it sounds like he's the next guy up. He's listed as the backup, and this is kind of rare as the backup right tackle and backup right guard. So if something happens, they're going to put him right in the game, it sounds like.
Ezekiel Elliott is the starter, or is it a running back by committee still for Urban Meyer and this team?
I think it's definitely still running back by committee. I would like to see him get Rod Smith a little bit more involved, particularly in those short yardage plays. He's got the size. If he can avoid the fumbling issues he's had, he's got the size to convert those third downs, those tough plays in the red zone, or rather in the goal line situations. The situation with Samuel in the Kent game, they decided in the second half to get him involved and get him the ball more, and he ended up with 100 yards rushing, which was his first 100-yard rushing game, obviously, in his first year. I think it's a tandem between Elliott and also with Samuel there at the running back position. I think it can be a good tandem as well, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see how it all plays out over the course of the season. Only one football and probably 8 or 10 guys to spread it around to. It's good problems to have.
So how does Steve Hellwagon see this week's game against the Cincinnati Bearcats playing out?
I think we're looking at a really fun football game. This is going to be 60 minutes of offensive explosion going up and down the field. It's possible one or both teams will reach 500 yards. I think the Ohio State defense at some point is going to make some plays that are going to keep Cincinnati out of the end zone. And I have not seen enough out of the Cincinnati defense to say, they're going to have what it takes to stop Ohio State. I mean, they gave up, 363 yards passing, I think, to Toledo. I mean, just some outrageous numbers. I mean, when you think about it, they were ahead 34-0 in that game and kind of fell asleep. And the next thing you know, they were ahead 41-34. So they didn't exactly put either of these first two teams away. Miami was at the 1 yard line last week with 8 minutes to go, looking for a touchdown to tie the game, and got turned away. So I want to see again how Cincinnati responds defensively, but I think Ohio State's got the better hand in that matchup, and I'm going with the Buckeyes 41-24 over the University of Cincinnati in the Battle of Ohio on Saturday at Ohio Stadium.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Steve, before I let you go, one final thing. Did you get a chance to watch the HBO Real Sports feature they did on Urban Meyer?
Yes, I did. I got to watch that.
What'd you think of it?
You know, I was very intrigued by it. A lot of it was stuff that we already had heard about and different things, but they really got into more detail. And I give Andrea Kramer and the people at Real Sports a lot of credit for doing some very good digging on this topic. Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch wrote a book about Meyer's transition from Florida to Ohio State, everything that happened and everything that was going on in his life at that time and the health issues and everything else. And I thought Shelley Meyer hit it out of the park in this thing that HBO did. Meyer admitted that one of his top advisors is Trace Armstrong. You're going to have to forgive me. He may or may not be his quote unquote agent. He played in the National Football League for a number of years. I think he was with the Chicago Bears for a while.
Yeah.
That name, Trace Armstrong. He's one of his, advisors in terms of business and maybe affairs and whatever. And they came to Meyer's people with this idea to do this segment, and that I think Trace Armstrong said, hey, this will portray you more as a human being than as this hardened football coach that everybody knows about. So, yeah, I think that was kind of the rationale or the feeling about it and why they wanted to do it. And yet at the same time, you get the feeling from Urban Meyer that he's kind of tired of having to tell everybody again and again that he was a workaholic and he neglected his kids and all this stuff. So at any rate, they got all that out on the table. And so we'll see, how it's received nationally from here on in.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think it was good for him to do that because now it is out there in video form, as well as what Bill wrote in the book and everything like that. So I don't think anybody will be bothering him anymore about it. Even when that was my second question to him on Tuesday when we had the conference call, and he really didn't give a lot of details. You could tell he was just kind of like, well, didn't want to talk about it, got into it a little bit, and then just let it go. Now all we need is for Jim Tressel maybe to do one of those where he tells the complete truth. Don't you think, Steve? Maybe that's somewhere down the road with, if not Real Sports, maybe me, you, or Bill, or somebody down there in Columbus?
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to be a part of something like that. I mean, he's now the president at Youngstown State, so we'll have to wait and see if there ever a day comes when he wants to get in front of all that. I think there is certainly more that he could talk about from what happened in his time at Ohio State, and definitely no shortage of people who'd love to know about it. So we'll see, mate. Well, I guess we'll hold out hope for that.
No doubt. Steve, always a pleasure. Again, where can people follow you and get the website so everybody can get all the Buckeye information they need?
Yeah, my Twitter's real easy, at Steve Hellwagon, and it's not O-N, it's E-N, which throws some people for a loop. Steve Hellwagon with one L and E-N. And you can follow me on Twitter. I have all the stuff that we post on bucknuts.com, our website, all kinds of team coverage up there as well. So check it out. We'll be all over the game on Saturday night.
And Wednesday's my favorite day. That's the game data page. It comes out on bucknuts.com, folks, so everybody can check out everything they need to know, not just about the Buckeyes, but whoever they're playing as well. Steve, keep up the good work. We'll talk again soon, bud. Thanks so much.
All right, Ken. Take care.
Hope you enjoyed the Rotary Report brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs at 330-722-4444 or check them out online at laserinsurance.com. And as always, C-Town, keep it real.